Thanksgiving this week. This week, some 270 million of us approximately sat down with family and loved ones to supposedly give thanks. We ate 46 million turkeys and we consumed on average 4,500 calories in one sitting. That's a lot. 50 million of us traveled for more than 50 miles so that we could do this. And 136 million of us went shopping on Friday and we spent in the neighborhood of $4.5 billion. Because nothing says giving thanks like gluttony and consumerism. But this morning I want to take you back to an earlier time of giving thanks. And I don't mean just going back to the Plymouth colony where the English settlers enjoyed a Thanksgiving with the native Wampanoag tribe feasting on, I was reading about what that first meal consisted of, duck, swan, goose, as well as turkey, and deer. So deer hunting is in the mix, Terry. Absolutely, yeah. But I want to take you back even further than that. 2,000 years to the city of Thessalonica, where Paul wrote in his first letter to this small church struggling in a big city, give thanks in all circumstances. Thessalonica was the provincial capital of the Roman province of Macedonia in what is today northern Greece. In the book of Acts, the good doctor Luke records Paul's first visit there on his second missionary journey. And it was there in Thessalonica where Paul, along with Timothy and Silas, found a ready audience for the good news of Jesus. There were some Jews who believed, along with some Gentiles who already believed in God, and they received the good news of Jesus, as well as, we are told, several leading Gentile women. But it was also in Thessalonica where Paul found some serious opposition. The Jewish leaders in the city were jealous of the success that he had, and so they incited a mob. The city leaders knew that this fledgling church had committed no crime, and yet they still had to pacify an angry mob. So they forced several of the believers to pay a fine before letting them go, just to appease the unruly crowd. Paul himself was forced to leave the city under the cover of darkness, where he continued his missionary journey on to Berea. And Luke tells us that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, because they eagerly received the word. They searched the word to see what he was saying was true. And many of them became followers of Jesus. But when Paul's Thessalonian opponents heard about his success in Berea, they followed him down there and they tried to incite a riot there. The new church in Thessalonica continued to endure hardship and persecution for many years. And if you read Paul's two short letters in the New Testament, you can get a taste of some of the things that they had to deal with. But it is in this environment, and it was to this group of believers, that Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Even when you face opposition, give thanks. Even when others are trying to bring you down, give thanks. Even when you are forced to pay a fine for something you didn't do, give thanks. Even when you are surrounded by an immoral pagan culture, give thanks. If Paul, facing everything he had to face in Thessalonica, could write to them and tell them to give thanks in all circumstances, even the circumstances they had to face, what do you think Paul would write to you? Give thanks in all circumstances. It's a short command. It's a simple command. But whew, is it hard? This morning, I want to break this short, simple command down into its different parts so that maybe we can better understand it and apply it to our lives. So that Thanksgiving is more than just a holiday. It's more than just a day off. It's more than a reason to go to grandma's house. More than just an excuse to stuff ourselves silly. But it is a description of who we are in Jesus. First, I want to focus on the word thanks. We are to give thanks. It's an easy to understand word. There's nothing complicated or confusing here. There's nothing lost in the Greek translation, nothing weird in the Greek grammar. My Greek English lexicon defines this word as, quote, to express gratitude for benefits or blessings, unquote. It is to acknowledge you didn't do it all yourself. You didn't get here on your own. You had some help along the way. It's a simple call to give thanks. And as followers of Jesus, you and I, we are to be a grateful people. See, faith in Jesus and thanksgiving, they go hand in hand. There's really no greater contradiction than an ungrateful Christian. That should be an oxymoron. Those two words should never have to be put together. Because ungratefulness goes against the new life we have in Jesus. You see, we have received the greatest gift imaginable, an eternal grace that far exceeds any temporary troubles that life may throw at us. And how can a people who have received such a marvelous gift, who have been enabled by their God to be able to give thanks in all circumstances, how can we be ungrateful? But our hearts get stuck in ungratefulness, don't they? I know mine does. I can get so focused on my own problems that I forget how God has been faithful in my past. And I'm not even thinking about what God has promised to do for me in my future. I get so dissatisfied because of what I don't have that I forget to count the blessings of what I do have. It's easy to do. It's easy to get so buried in homework, dirty diapers, bills that need to be paid, and doctor's visits, and chores that need to be done, that we develop spiritual blinders so that we do not see the blessings of God. And we begin to grumble and complain. We become sources of discontent. And before you know it, our hearts are far from God. We become like the children of Israel who are wandering in the wilderness. And think about their circumstances. God had set them free from captivity. They were now a free people. He led them and guided them. You remember, a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He protected them. He gave them victory over their enemies. He fed them manna from heaven every day. And they saw the most amazing miracles. I mean, the plagues in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the water from the rock. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, if I could just see with my own eyes the kind of miracles that God did in the Old Testament, well, then I would believe. No, you wouldn't. Because these are the people who saw that. And you know what they did? They didn't believe. They grumbled and complained. They grumbled and complained. All they could see is what they didn't like. Lord, thanks for the manna, but could we have something else? New Testament tells us that most of them didn't make it to the promised land because of unbelief. And I begin to wonder, does ungratefulness lead to grumbling and complaining, which leads to unbelief? That's why we've got to hear this call to give thanks. Because faith and gratitude go hand in hand. And so when we are ungrateful, it's a warning sign, a siren. Something in your life isn't in sync with Jesus. Something in your heart needs attention. Something needs to be realigned. And it begins with giving thanks. An attitude of gratitude isn't just a part of the personality you were born with. It isn't just something, well, some of us have and some of us don't, like being a blonde. No. Gratefulness is something that must be pursued. It must be built bit by bit, piece by piece, sometimes with great effort and difficulty. This is why Paul urges us to give thanks. Secondly, we need to consider the word give. We are to give thanks. A couple things stick out to me about this. First of all, giving implies an act on our part. It's something we do. Yes, giving comes from the heart. It's an attitude that we should have, but it's still something we must do. It's an act we must perform. It's something we can obey in. In fact, we can do it. We can obey this call even when our hearts aren't completely in it. Sometimes we need to learn to obey this call even when we're not feeling it at all. Because thanksgiving is more than just a feeling that we have. It's an act. Now listen closely to me here. I'm not saying we should fake it. I'm saying sometimes we have to obey and humbly submit and give thanks from our lips until our hearts are willing to follow. Not to hide an ungrateful heart, but to guide it. I'll give you an example of how this works sometimes. Remember when you were a kid and you're playing with your brother or sister or a best friend that's come over, and you get mad at each other. And you fight. And you're at each other's throats. I hate you! I don't want to talk to you. Alright? And mom comes in. What's mom say? What's mom do? I can tell you how it worked at my house. Danny, tell your sister you're sorry. But she did! Danny, tell your sister you're sorry. And then that was often followed up with, now give her a hug. Oh, God, that was the worst thing ever. If it was my buddy, it was like, okay, you two shake hands now. You know? If you had a really mean mom, she made you kiss your sister. All right, that, don't even want to go there. You know, and then sometimes it'd be like, all right, you sit in this chair and you sit in that chair. You two think about what you've done. And you're going to sit there until you're ready to get along again. Play nice with each other. We got any kids in here that have spent some time in chairs? Some big kids. Yeah, me. Problem with adults is we would probably like that punishment. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Love to sit here in this chair for a while. But, yeah, and so you're sitting there, you know, and when mom says, say you're sorry, you're like, I'm not sorry. I might say it with my lips, but I don't mean it in my heart. Right? And you're sitting in that chair, and you look at each other, and you're like shooting lasers. I hate you. Never talking to you again. But even as you're sitting there, something begins to subtly shift in your heart. Now, maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe I did something too. And then comes that moment where you look at each other and one of you's got a smirk on your face. And then somebody snickers. Then there's giggling, and then there's outright just laughter. And before you know it, you're playing again, you're best friends again, and everything is well. There was some wisdom in what Mom did. She knew that sometimes you had to do it with the body before the heart would follow. And I think God understands the same thing when He tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes we don't want to. Give thanks. I don't want to. Give thanks. I don't feel like it. Give thanks. And in the midst of that, our attitude and perspective begins to shift. And we begin to see things a little bit differently. We begin to remember some of the blessings of God. But how do we do this? How do we give thanks? Well, two ways biblically. First, we express it in prayer. We tell God directly by praying, Lord, I thank You for... Paul mentions in almost every single one of his letters that he prays for these churches and he tells them, I thank God for you. He tells the Ephesians, Ephesians 1:16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Do you suppose that one of the reasons Paul did that is that maybe he had to remind himself from time to time that these people were a blessing from God? These churches that caused him so much grief, these churches that caused so much trouble that he had to step in and intervene and try to correct these problems. Yes, Lord, I thank You for these people. Do you suppose we ever need to be reminded that the people we worship with every week are blessings from God? Yes, we do. But these prayers of thanksgiving are more than just spiritual thank you cards to God. Here's the really cool part. When we pray prayers of thanks, and we send up thanks in this direction, God works back in this direction to somehow take that which we are thankful for and make it His own. Let me explain this to you. Well, I can't explain it. There's a marvelous mystery here that I can't begin to explain. But there is this verse. Paul writes to the young minister Timothy saying, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because, here it is, it is consecrated, which means it is made holy or set apart to God by the Word of God in prayer. And so when you pray and you give thanks, God somehow takes that person and brings them closer to Himself. God somehow takes that thing, He takes that situation and makes it His stuff. So those circumstances in your life, those things that are going on, and you give thanks to God and it becomes God's stuff. Like I said, I can't explain it. I can only marvel at the mystery. But it's what Scripture teaches. So we give it in prayer. Secondly, we give thanks through what we just got done doing a few minutes here. Songs of praise. Repeatedly, in the Old and New Testaments, God's Word connects thanksgiving with singing songs of praise. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the Ark of the Covenant, for the first time, is brought back to the city of Jerusalem after the Philistines had taken it captive. And so King David, he leads the nation of Israel in a song of praise. And in verse 34, he calls all of us, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And Psalm 95:2 calls us to come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. And I could go on with these kinds of verses for 30 minutes. But here's the thing about these prayers of thanksgiving and songs of thanksgiving. They aren't just done in private. They're done in community. They're done with others. They're to be shared with others. Because when we give thanks, we not only lift up God, But like I said before, we lift up each other. This is why Paul, in his letters, told these churches that he was praying for them, that he thanked God for them. And we come across this verse in Ephesians 5:19, where it says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And you begin to wonder, wait a minute, are we singing to God or are we singing to each other? And the answer is yes, both. That when we sing songs of praise, we're lifting up God, but we're also lifting up each other. That's why we invite you, we encourage you to sing out. Don't just stand here and watch Amanda and Betty sing and listen to them. And I understand they have lovely voices and they sing so much better than me. But the body needs you to sing. God wants to hear you. We need to hear you. But giving thanks doesn't just imply an act on our part. Giving also implies that there's somebody there to receive the thanks, doesn't it? I mean, if I give a present, that means, well, somebody must have received it, right? We are thanking someone specific for something. And I find it interesting. I hear a lot of people who have no real faith in God, but then they say they are thankful. They even call us to give thanks. And I have to wonder, well, who are they thanking? I've kind of paid attention to this over the years. Because you'll hear it a lot at award shows and things like that. And I've noticed an increasing trend where people are now trying to specify who they're giving thanks to, you know, beyond their moms and their agents and all of that. I've heard them thank the universe. In fact, I read an article this week on Thanksgiving in the paper where the author of the article said, we need to give thanks to the universe. I've heard them thank the planet Earth, Mother Earth, as if some chunk of rock floating in space loves them and has a plan for their life. Maybe they're just thankful to good fortune. How about that one? Let's write a song of praise to random chance. Because life is nothing more than a roll of dice in the casino of the cosmos. You see, if they don't believe in God and the blessings He gives, who are they thankful to? What are they thankful for, especially in bad circumstances? You have to wonder. Let me tell you something. This is something we need to understand in this culture. The universe doesn't care about you. The sun and the planet and the moon and the stars do not have a plan for your life. They are impersonal, inanimate objects that operate according to the natural laws that God created for them. They are blessings from God. They reflect His glory and majesty, but they're ultimately not what blesses you. But our culture is so intent on denying the power and the nature of God that they can't help but ascribe some of His divine qualities to something. To nature, to the universe, to Mother Earth, to the cosmos. We need a God in our world, and if we deny the real one, then we're going to have to pretend there's another. So I find it interesting how many people who achieve the top levels of success in their chosen endeavor, whether it's athletes who win championships, musicians who sell millions of songs and pack out arenas and stadiums, or actors who garner awards and accolades, get to this moment of their greatest glory and they become very grateful and very humble. And how often do we see the athlete there with his trophy after the game, or the star that steps up to the podium to accept their award, and the first words out of their mouth are something like this: "Well, first, I'd like to thank God." And often these are people who demonstrate absolutely no belief in God in any aspect of their life, but there they are thanking God. And it's as almost as if they instinctively know there has to be some personal force at work in the universe, much bigger than us, that allows us to act and sing and dance and play and compete. But as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I know who that is. We are not thanking someone somewhere out there. We are thanking God, our Creator and our Savior. We give thanks. The third word we want to zero in is this word all, as in all circumstances. Now, the word circumstances has been added by the translators to make it a little more readable and understandable in English. It would literally be translated as give thanks in all. It's universal. It's not give thanks in all good things. Give thanks in all pleasant things. Give thanks in all things that you understand. It's simply give thanks in all, period. And to really understand the universal call of this verse, we've got to back up and include verses 16 and 17. Because this is part of a longer sentence. And these three verses make up a trio of concise commands that should characterize the life of every Christian. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What makes these imperatives so challenging are the universals. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. I can be joyful sometimes. I can pray often. I can give thanks in many circumstances. But always? Continually? All? Brothers and sisters, that's a whole other level. And even if we focus on the last of these commands, give thanks in all circumstances, how do I begin to wrap my head around that? All circumstances. No exceptions, no excuses, no if, maybe, well. No. In everything. And everything that happens in life, we need to learn how to give thanks. No matter what lot, no matter what occasion, what trial, what test, what struggle, what success, what victory, give thanks. How can we do this? Is this some sort of spiritual masochism? Is this some sort of stoic acceptance of philosophical fatalism? Que sera, sera, whatever will be, so I'll just take what comes? No. To fully understand how we can give thanks in all circumstances, we need to focus on one more word. And it's the word in. We give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. Do you understand the difference? Paul's not saying that we have to feel thankful for being laid off, thankful for a relationship that's been torn to shreds, thankful for a bad diagnosis, thankful for a bad test score. What he's saying is we still have reason, abundant reason to be thankful, even in the face of these things. What's amazing, though, is how often we later find out that these bad circumstances really were blessings in disguise. And the reason we can give thanks in all circumstances is that circumstances ultimately aren't what control our lives. Circumstances are those things in life that happen to you and around you that affect you, but they're beyond your control. The economy goes up. Yay! There's a recession. Oh. You get a cost of living raise at work. Woohoo! Your company downsizes and slashes budgets. Uh-oh. You win a raffle for a free vacation. You hit a deer on the way home from work. Your favorite team wins the championship. Or you fall and break your leg. You get the exact schedule you want for school. Or your girlfriend breaks up with you right before prom. Circumstances. No matter what happens in life, you can still find reason to give thanks to God. Because there is always blessing. God's grace is always moving. God is still God. God is still good. And He's still bringing about His purpose in your life. Sometimes those circumstances make it hard to see. We get discouraged. We get disappointed. And we forget that God is there, that He still loves us, that He's still working in our lives. And so this command taps us on the shoulder to remind us, look a little harder. Look a little deeper. Let me share with you just a bit of theology of thanksgiving. Romans 8:28 is the umbrella, the doctrinal truth that covers this and enables us to give thanks in all circumstances. Hear what it says. And we know that in all things, there it is, all circumstances, all things, in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now, it doesn't say that all things are good. And it doesn't say that God causes bad things. What it says is that God can work through anything for His good in you. You see, even when circumstances are beyond our control, and even when they're not a part of our game plan, they are never beyond God's control, and they never throw off His game plan. He can take any bad circumstance and still use it for His good purpose. His wisdom has already taken into account all of these things. Do you know there has never been a time in your life, there's never been anything that's happened to you where God says, uh-oh, I didn't see that one coming. Hasn't happened. He's already taken it into account. And so when we learn to give thanks in all circumstances, it reminds us of a couple of important things. Number one, God is in control. He's still sovereign. You know, there are some people who think, well, our lives are just a matter of luck. You either win the lottery of life or you lose. But it's not just good fortune or bad luck. It's not the universe against us. It's not how the stars and planets are aligned. And this call to give thanks in all circumstances challenges us to search for God's wisdom in what happens. How is He testing me? How does He want me to grow from this? What can I learn? How can God use this for His glory? Secondly, giving thanks not only reminds us that God is in control, it reminds us that we are not. We are not masters of our domain. You see, there are others. They're often the high achievers, the go-getters, the positive thinkers who believe their success is purely the result of their own effort. They've done it, they've dreamed it, they've worked for it, they've made it happen, and they get the credit. And they don't give glory to God for His blessing. Here's the thing, though. No amount of skill or talent or hard work, as important as those things are the sole reason for where you are in life. He's the one who created you with those abilities. He's the one that gave you those talents. He's enabled you to be able to work hard. That's why we give thanks in all circumstances. And when we learn to give thanks, then even the worst of circumstances can take on a whole new meaning. I want to leave you this morning with a story my grandmother shared with me from Dr. Garland Barr. Dr. Garland Barr grew up in Tibet, the son of a missionary doctor. And he recalls a time in his childhood when China was at war with Tibet. And the borders were closed down and supplies weren't getting through. And the missionary family quickly went through all of their reserves. And it got to a point where the only thing they had to eat was a local staple called sumba. Sumba was a barley meal that was ground into flour, mixed with tea and yak butter. I think the word yak is appropriate here. Yak! And it was formed into dough balls. And day after day, all they had to eat was sumba. Dough balls for breakfast, dough balls for lunch, dough balls for dinner. Thanksgiving Day arrived. And there was no turkey, there was no mashed potatoes, there was no pumpkin pie. And Garland's mom prayed that they might have something to eat other than sumba for just this one day. Short time later, there's a knock at the door. And a servant had arrived from the governor's house. And in one hand, at arm's length, he's holding a small can. With the other hand, he's holding his nose. A gift had arrived for the governor from India. And upon opening the can, he couldn't stand the smell. But he thought, well, maybe the Americans will like it. And so he sent his servant over. And the offending odoriferous gift was a can of sardines. So that Thanksgiving day, they enjoyed dough balls with sardines. And it was the greatest Thanksgiving ever. And for many years that followed, a staple on the Bear family Thanksgiving table, along with the turkey and all the trimmings, was a can of sardines to remind them to give thanks in all circumstances. A reminder that I think maybe we all needed on a Thanksgiving weekend. Would you please pray with me? Would you stand up as we pray? Lord, we pause this morning to do exactly as your word commands. Pray and to give thanks. To say thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to come together to worship today in freedom, to worship in a place where we have warm air and soft chairs. We thank you for our family that we have in Christ. We thank you for so many blessings, Lord. Lord, even as we put the Thanksgiving holiday in our rearview mirror, let us still be a grateful people. A people who give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us sing together.